I appreciate the story that Reverend Wilsey Martin told about himself. He told it in one of his sermons one morning. Wilsey Martin said he got to the church early one Sunday and he parked in front of the church and was beginning to make his way inside the front of the sanctuary when he noticed there was an elderly woman who was trying to make her way up the very steep steps that went up the front of the sanctuary to the front door. So he quickly got out of his car and he ran over to her and he said, "Here, ma'am, let me help you up the steps." And so with great patience and great care and taking much time, they made their way slowly, step by step, to the very top. And just when they got to the top, they were making their way over to the front door of the sanctuary. And the woman turned to him and she said, "Thank you very much." And she said, "And may I ask you a question?" "Yes," he said. "Well, who is preaching today?" And he said, not wanting to reveal his identity, he smiled and said, "Well, our pastor, Reverend Wilsey Martin, is preaching." She frowned and said, "I'm sorry, could you help me back down the steps to my car?" Well, I like that story because it reminds us that preaching is truth through personality. It comes through the person who is reading and sharing. But regardless of who preaches, this text this morning, John chapter 1, is a powerful text. And in this text, God has a word for us. But we cannot be mistaken and we cannot get lost. That word cannot get mixed up in all the other words that bombard us, especially during this season of the year. Our lives are filled with so many words. We hear words about the economy. We hear words about the stock market. We hear words about the internet and net neutrality. We hear words about government and sports and war and politics and public education. Words smother us from the television and radio and podcasts and Netflix and daily conversations. We are constantly bombarded from every direction by words, words, words. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone seems to have something to say. We live in an information, communication, wordy world. But in the midst of this wordy world, God has a word for us. And John tells us in this text that we desperately need to hear God's word. We need to understand God's word. In our text for today, we are told that this word from God is none other than Jesus. Now, his name does not appear in the text. And even though we said this is John's Christmas story, we're not told about Bethlehem. We hear nothing about Mary and Joseph. We don't know anything about the shepherds. We're not told about the wise men or the magi. None of these things come to us in John's version of the Christmas story. Instead, John has a very different focus. When we read these 14 verses in the Gospel of John, what we understand is he's trying to tell us Jesus is God's word. Jesus is the word. Jesus is God's word. Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The word is what we are celebrating during this Advent Christmas season. It is the word we need to hear in a wordy, wordy world. Well, this morning, let us ask, what is so important about this word? Why do we need to hear this word? What is it about this word that makes a difference in our lives today? Well, I would invite you to think with me this morning about just a couple of things. Number one, first and foremost, this passage tells us that God's word is about love. One of the most important things we learn from this text is that it is through this word that God gives us such an important message. And the message from this word is very simple, and yet it is also extraordinarily profound. This word from God says clearly and distinctly, "I love you. I love you." As long as human beings have inhabited this planet, When human beings have looked up to the stars and seen all of creation, questions have come to mind and we ask, what is out there? Who is out there? Does this universe have a creator? Do we have a creator? And if so, what can we know about this creator? What does this creator have to say to us? And guess what? In the first 14 verses of John's gospel, he says, I have an answer for you. I have an answer for all of these questions that you've asked, and listen to what it is. Here's my interpretation of what he says. If you want to know the answer to these existential questions that are asked, then listen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word took on human form, becoming like us in our humanity. And this Word was none other than the very Son of God, Jesus the Christ. God's Word is the answer. And it is through that Word that we clearly hear God saying to us, I love you. On Christmas Eve in 1968, Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders were orbiting the moon in Apollo 8. And as they were orbiting the moon and going around the moon, they had a unique vantage point of the Earth. And as they looked back to the Earth, this planet upon which we live, they were filled with the majesty of creation, they said. And they were taken back by how powerful God's love for us really is. So much so that they publicly read the first 10 verses of the book of Genesis to the listening world that was thousands of miles away. It was God's love that was overwhelming to them. Years later, when James B. Irwin, an astronaut on Apollo 15, actually walked on the surface of the moon, he said it was when he was standing on the moon, looking back at the Earth looking like a small blue marble. It was then, he said, that he was overwhelmed that God's love knows no boundaries. It cannot be confined by space or time. God's love was. God's love is, God's love will be. The message, I love you, is so important. It is a word, it is a message that we all need to hear. Many years ago, my wife Amy was working in a residential treatment center for adolescent girls. And while she was working there as a transitional care social worker, she and I were able to begin a ministry with the girls who were part of this home. And I met one girl that was there. She was 14 to 15 years old at the time. And I learned she had been in more than 30 different foster homes prior to being in this residential treatment center. I also learned that for the rest of her life, she would spend time in some form of a state institution. Physically, she was fine. But there was a reason why she would need help for the rest of her life. It was mentally and emotionally that her development had been hindered. Why? Because when she was a baby, nobody, and I mean nobody, ever loved and cared for her. She was given some food, and occasionally her soiled clothes were changed, but rarely was she held. Never was she sung to. Never was her small face caressed by a loving parent. Never was she played with. No one ever held her and gazed into her eyes and said, I love you. And her development as a human being was forever cut short from a lack of love. It is the greatest fundamental need any of us as human beings will ever have, to know that someone loves you. And what John says is this: Jesus is God's word. And that word says, first and foremost from God, I love you. I love you. In fact, through this word, God is saying to us, though you make mistakes, though you are not perfect, though you disappoint yourself, and though you disappoint others from time to time, I love you. I love you more than you can imagine. I love you more than you can possibly understand. Hear my word for you at Christmas. I love you. Well, that is enough. It really is enough. But God's word does not stop there. God's word continues. And even though God's word first and foremost says, I love you, there is such a powerful second message that comes with that word. And it is this: I am with you. Not only do I love you, but also I am promising you that I am always with you. You see, it would have been one thing if through this word God said to us, look, I love you, I really do, but while you're here on earth, I'm going to stay in heaven. You do the best you can while you're here on earth, and one day you'll come and you'll be in my presence forever, but for now, do the best that you can and just know that I love you. But that is not God's word. God's word says, not only do I love you, but do you remember what John says in that powerful signet verse 14? The word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. The word that John uses there for dwelt among us, the word literally means to pitch a tent, to set up a camp. In plain and simple language, this word literally means that God not only loves us enough to send Jesus to us, but he promises to always be with us in every situation of life. In other words, you and I will never be alone. Every year at Christmas, I am reminded of the thousands, perhaps millions, of people who are lonely and troubled during this season of the year. Many counselors and psychiatrists and social workers will tell us that there are simply an overwhelming number of people who find Christmas to be almost unbearable, more than they can take, because of their loneliness and their isolation. One person has written, like tiny frightened sparrows shivering in the winter cold, many live their lives on the barren branches of heartbreak, disappointment, and loneliness, lost in thoughts and feelings of shame, self-pity, guilt, and failure. It often seems in life, it often feels like in life, that we're all alone, that we're by ourselves. But God's word at Christmas, God's word says, I promise to always be with you. You know, this promise is so powerful. I love this. In Matthew's gospel, it begins with this promise and it ends with this promise. Think of it this way. In Matthew chapter 1, we read this passage where the angel comes to Joseph, and the angel says to Joseph these words. He says, Mary will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Right at the beginning of the gospel. But then if you flip all the way to the back, at the very end, after Jesus' death and resurrection, before he ascends to heaven, in that passage we call the Great Commission, do you remember Jesus' last spoken words here on earth? He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The gospel begins and ends with this continual refrain. It is the promise of God, I am with you. One person has written, he who resided in heaven, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and with the Spirit, willingly descended into our world. He breathed our air. He felt our pain. He knew our sorrows. He descended into our world and died for our sins. He didn't come to frighten us, but to show us the way to warmth and safety. The message of Christmas, God's word, is I am with you. The story is told that when David Livingstone, the great missionary, was preparing to leave his home and to venture to Africa to begin serving God in this remote continent from where he lived, he was making his way down to the ship that would take him to Africa, and he was met on the pier by a group of his friends. They were not there to wish him well. They were not there to send him off in a wonder of glory. They were there to talk him out of going. They were afraid for his safety. They urged him not to go. to stay in the comfort and safety of his home. But David Livingstone took his Bible and he opened it to John chapter 1, the very passage that we read this morning. He read the exact same text that we read for this day. And when he finished, he closed his Bible and he looked to those who were gathered on that pier and he said these words, "Friends, this is God's word for us. God is with us. So let us go." That is the message of God's word. There is an ancient Scottish legend that tells about a little shepherd boy who was tending a few struggling sheep out on the hillside of a big mountain. One day, as he cared for his sheep on this mountain, at his feet he saw a beautiful flower, a flower more beautiful than any he had ever seen before. When he sees the flower, the little shepherd boy kneels down, he picks the flower, he holds it close to his eyes, drinking in all of its beauty. Well, as he held the flower, suddenly he heard a noise. And when he looked up, he saw that the great mountain where his sheep were gazing was opening up in front of him, before his very eyes. And when it fully opened, he saw inside the mountain sparkling gems and precious metals. With the flower in his hand, the little shepherd boy made his way walking inside the mountain, and he lays the flower down and he begins to pick up all these precious metals and these beautiful gems and hold them in his arms, and he grabs all that he can in his arms and he turns around and begins to make his way out. And it was then that he hears a voice saying to him, "Don't forget the best." Well, he wonders what it is, and thinking maybe he left some extremely precious metals or jewels there, he drops some of what he has and he picks up some of the others. And now literally with his arms overflowing with these gems and precious metals, he turns again and begins to walk out. And again, the voice says, "Don't forget the best." But this time the little shepherd boy walks on out, knowing that he can hold no more in his arms. Once he was outside, the precious metal and stones that were in his hands turned to dust. And he looked around and he saw the big mountain behind him closing up, no more giving the brilliance of the beautiful gems inside. And for a third time, the voice spoke again. And this time the voice said, "You forgot the best. The beautiful flower is the key to the vault of the mountain." You know, as I thought about that, I was thinking, in this Advent Christmas season, what is the best? What is the best? What is the thing that we cannot set aside in order to gain so much else? What is it that is the best during Advent and Christmas? You know, on his deathbed, John Wesley said a very interesting thing. Listen to what he said. John Wesley said, "The best is God with us. The best is God with us." Friends, today, this is God's word for you. This is God's best of the Advent Christmas season. And this word is so simple, yet it is so profound. God says, "I love you. And I am always with you. I love you. And I am always with you." This morning, do you know the best of Advent and Christmas? Do you know God's love for you? Do you know that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son as a babe in the manger, whom we celebrate during this season of the year? Do you know that God is always with you in every experience of life? Do you hear and receive God's word for you today? This Christmas, God has a message for you. It is simple, but it is clear. I love you, and I am always with you. Accept it. Believe it. Cherish it. For this is God's word for you. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we are grateful for your word. Your word, Jesus Christ, reminds us that you love us and that you are always with us. Lord, during this Advent Christmas season, help us not to set aside what is best for that which is less, but help us to hold, to accept, and to cherish your word and your promises. So lead us and guide us and bless us in these ways, for we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.